May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. St. James writes, "Be patient until the coming of the Lord." Our text is this morning's epistle lesson. You may be seated. Dear saints, being patient this time of year can be a challenge. If you are a child, or if you used to be one, you know how hard it can be to wait for Christmas. Maybe it's waiting for the music or the cookies or the big family gatherings, or most likely it's just waiting for the presents. But it doesn't seem like we wait for Christmas anymore. In the church, Christmas starts on Christmas Day, and it continues until Epiphany, 12 days of Christmas. But for the world, it's 2 months of bell ringing, Mariah Carey, and crowded stores, and then it's Christmas Eve, and it's all over. Christmas starts at Walmart in September. It's common to give Christmas presents way before Christmas. We don't like to wait. By nature, we prefer instant gratification. We are not patient. The old adage, "Good things come to those who wait," increasingly falls on deaf ears. Of course, our waiting for Christmas is nothing compared to the people of the Old Testament. God's covenant people were waiting for Christmas for thousands of years. And by the time it happened, most of them had moved on to other things. They had grown tired of waiting. When the big day arrived, it wasn't so special to most of them after all. Our epistle lesson this morning speaks a lot about patience. The word translated patience has other more subtle nuances. In English, we might say to remain tranquil while waiting, or to bear up under provocation without complaint. Or perhaps my favorite is the translation in King James, long-suffering. Advent is about the coming of the Lord, and James exhorts us to wait for the Lord's coming with patience. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever prayed for patience or an increase of it. It turns out it's a dangerous prayer. To build strong muscles, we're told you have to do resistance exercise. You have to pump iron. A muscle has to be worked to its extreme limits to get stronger. You lift weights until you simply can't lift anymore. Patience is like a muscle. It has to be worked. Our patience has to be pushed to its limits to get stronger. So to pray for patience is essentially to pray for situations to come into our lives that would try our patience. Typically the exact opposite of what we think we're praying for. Nevertheless, you should pray for patience. Then James gives us the example of the farmer. Farmers must be patient. If you garden or if you've ever tried to grow anything outside, you know this. Of course, in modern times, we have plumbing and irrigation systems, but timely rains are still the best way for crops to grow. The temperature must be right at certain times, not too hot, not too cold, and such weather patterns are quite frankly beyond our control. Simply, patience is called for. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. James goes on to give us some instruction about patience, what it looks like, how Christians are to be patient. He says, "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." This isn't the kind of patience where we just sit around and do nothing, assuming that, oh, well, the Lord won't return in my lifetime, so I have nothing to worry about. Rather, it is a patience that is always preparing. The coming of the Lord is at hand. It is imminent. It could come at any moment. We are to strengthen our hearts. That is, we are to have faithful hearts, trusting in the promises and mercy of Christ, hearts that are strengthened by listening to his holy word, receiving his body and blood as frequently as possible. By these things, our hearts are established in Christ, so that as we wait, we are prepared, waiting yet patient. Thanks be to God that he promises to strengthen our hearts through the means he has provided for us. James continues, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." I suppose one of the most common side effects of impatience is grumbling. We see it in the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. We want what we want now. We often blame our situation on others, grumbling against them. Instead, James would have us see one another differently, especially those within the household of faith. We must be reminded that though each of us have different strengths and weaknesses, different talents and gifts, different troubles and temptations, we are all seen by God through Christ Jesus. We are all individually beloved children of God. Christ's blood covers your sin, and it covers the sin of the person sitting next to you. We should see one another as those for whom Christ died. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. James goes on to connect suffering with patience. Patience isn't just about enduring boredom, but it is also about enduring suffering. This makes patience even harder. If patience is the same as long suffering, then being patient means, well, you might suffer for quite a while. You may suffer as a Christian in some obvious way, but such suffering could simply be the result of a choice you make that is in accord with God's will. For example, you may tell a coworker what you believe about Christ, and they may think negatively about you. Or you may decide to move away from a place because it is better for your family. Or you may choose to live near a faithful church, even though you could have a more comfortable life living somewhere else. Even your giving of your time and your money to the building up of God's kingdom means you have less time and money for yourself. In all of these things, be patient. And if you've been around the church for any length of time at all, you realize it isn't all sunshine and rainbows. God's word brings people into the church, and that same word may drive them away. Things appear to be going great for a while, and then everything seems to be a struggle. The culture may shift from celebrating the church to merely accepting us, to ignoring us, to being openly opposed to us and back again. These things may cause us to grumble, may cause us to become impatient, may even cause us to doubt or to pull back from God's house. Maybe we'll just hang around the fringes for a while and see how things play out before being fully committed. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast, says James. As we remain steadfast, clinging to the promises of Christ, we are blessed. Blessed for this life, blessed for the life to come. James encourages our patience because there is an eternal reward prepared for us on the other side of our waiting. St. Paul says, "If we endure, we will reign with Christ. If you need an example of being patient and remaining steadfast in suffering, you can consider the prophets and the martyrs, for they are blessed. James mentions Job, who endured much yet was faithful. John the Baptist was also such a man, as we read about in our gospel reading this morning. He lived a hard life, completed a tough assignment, and in this life received prison and execution. It would have been easy just to give up, but he endured. And among men there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist, says Jesus. That is, until we came along. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John, says Jesus. You and I are greater because we know the whole story. We know that all our infirmities of body and mind will be healed at the resurrection of the dead. We know that Jesus is the one, and we are not waiting for another. We know that we are the poor to whom good news has been preached, and we know fully that good news, that Jesus died for sinners, that he died for us, that God raised him from the dead, that God will raise you from the dead, and so we are blessed. Our greatness is on account of Christ. These are all fine examples for us, these prophets, martyrs, apostles. Yet we would do even better to consider the patience of our Lord. James reminds us, "You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." The writer to the Hebrews says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Jesus endured suffering. He was patient in the afflictions that the world heaped upon him. He was patient with his disciples. He was patient with those who killed him. He is patient with you. He is patient with us sinners because our sin has been taken away. It was out of compassion for us that he went to the cross, that we would not die eternally. It was out of his mercy that he came into the world, lived a sinless life, even though he was tempted just as we are, allowed himself to be mocked and tortured and crucified. We can wait patiently through the afflictions of this life because we know that we are waiting for Jesus. We know that he has already won the victory. We can wait patiently for the end of the story of this world because we know how the story ends. The things of this world that cause us angst and anxiety, trouble and tribulation, they are all passing away. All the nonsense that this world heaps upon us will amount to nothing. You and I are triumphant with Jesus, and that victory will be revealed on the last day. The kingdom of God is here among you, and it is coming with its fullness in Christ. Our waiting should be patient, yes, but it should look more like an eager anticipation, like a child waiting to open his Christmas presents. Each Advent season, year in and year out, we are reminded of what we are waiting for, that final advent, that final coming of our Lord in glory, and that brings us hope and joy. Brothers and sisters, be patient until the coming of the Lord. In his name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.